Freak4Radio.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams.
All right, rodeo fans, it's time for She's Gone Country with the CB Cowgirls. Introducing your host, Becky Christensen, and co-host, Vicki Christensen O'Shield. Hey, let's ride.
Hope everyone's having a great morning so far here at Roper Cowboy Marketplace. I am Becky Christensen, and this is my host, Vicki Christensen O'Shield, my guest co-host. I can't get it right all week. You know, it seems like, you know, always the WNFR, the days start running together, the hours start running together, and after a while, you just kind of scratch your head and say, okay, now what is my name? So
what is my
right.
name, what day is it, and what time
right.
is it?
Because
you get stuck in these, you're in the casinos so much, and the hotels, you forget that there's daylight outside.
Absolutely. You truly, truly do. The world goes by, and you don't get to see it, and I miss that.
Well, we're on the tailwind and tail slide of this whole thing, and we have a great guest today. We're really excited. We've had a great program so far this week, I think, since last Thursday. We got to broadcast our first our show from last Thursday. We played that on the Internet today.
Right.
We are an Internet-based radio show, and we air Monday nights at 6 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. You just go to blogtalkradio.com/4radio. And our show is just all about the stories behind the stories, preserving the spirit of the American cowboy and cowgirl and keeping that alive, and just spreading the message of the great stories that are out there so that our generations are in tune to what's gone on before them. So it's been fun. It's about 3 years now.
It's right, 3 years, Becky. This is our second year here for Group W Productions. So, you know, we're really happy. We worked with them last year at the semifinals in Fort Worth at the American.
Yep.
And we're just a great group to work with. So we better get this started because we have some great guests.
We do. And before we bring those guests up, I want to just say thank you really quick to our sponsors. Of course, our sponsors are those that do everything they can to help us promote and elevate everything that we do. And I want to say thank you first and foremost to our family over at Trace Rio Silver. Couldn't do what we do without you. And they are over at Cowboy Christmas. I don't remember the booth. I need to get over there. What is it?
Booth 511.
511.
Drop in and say hello. And I see Mr. Pecos Tatum sitting out there this morning. Pecos, thank you for stopping by.
Stand up and wave, because this is the future of rodeo right here, and he's one of the reasons why we do what we do. Wave. He was competing. He's the booger that pulled her away from the stage this week, because she had to go watch him rope at the Roy Cooper Invitational. And he's also tomorrow, no, it's Thursday, what is he doing? Share that a little bit.
Thursday, he's going to share some of his little auctioneering skills, and he's got some good ones he learned from his grandpa, Brad Herrera, and he's going to be over at South Point, and that's for the auction over there. So we're excited, and I'm going to slip away again, Becky, and turn this over to you.
Well, that's okay, because that just leads me to bring up my guest co-host who will be standing in the gap for my Aunt Vicky, and that is Mr. Kevin Contardo, Mr. Management Extraordinaire of Large Events.
Welcome, Kevin. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been a real joy and a pleasure to get to know some of the people that I've kind of looked up to the last few years. So it's been a whirlwind. I've been all over town, and you guys are keeping me on track. In fact, I didn't even get a chance to put my boots on today. I've been on my feet all week, and so I thought I'd give him a rest. But I do need to swap out my Trace Rios hat.
Trace Rios hat. One of our other main sponsors and supporters, and he's actually here with us today. We'll be bringing him on a little bit later, and that's Mr. Keith Mundy from American Hats. He's just really come up alongside of us, so we appreciate everything at American Hats. And hola! Great.
Not too bad, not too bad. Best hats, fastest service. Couldn't believe
Best hat store ever.
And we've had a great week. Four Fashions is one of our sponsors, and I've had the opportunity to wear a few of their outfits that you can find online at fourfashions.com. Today, I am wearing some really cool Cinch jeans. Cinch has been a sponsor for us, so these are pretty cool. Check them out, yeah? You like
I like those.
Yeah. Rodeo Spot Marketing, Corral Boots, Fuel Up Nutrition, and, of course, West & Company Jewelry, and not apparel. We couldn't do what we do without you, so thank you so much. So without further ado, I'm going to actually let Aunt Vicky bring up our first guest.
Okay, well, we're going to bring on stage. You know, there's a lot of different events happening this week, and it's hard to keep up and keep track of everything. But one thing that all of us in the world of rodeo look forward to, and that is the cowboy reunion. We have a special guest, several here today, and we're going to be talking about the World of Rodeo Gathering and the Gold Card Reunion. Right now, I'd like to bring Mr. Larry Jordan up. Larry and his lovely wife reside in Roy, Montana. And Larry is going to come up and visit with us. Along with Larry, we'd like to bring up Brent Jordan, Larry's son. And Larry, you have a special guest. So once you get up here, we'll let you bring John up.
Thank you so much. All right, you all, if you're out there roaming the aisles, you need to come over and hear our guest, because there is some stories that will be told. And you want to hear about what's going on this week with all these Cowboy Extraordinaires. I also wanted to mention, if you're in the neighborhood and you happen to see a very special man roaming around, I'm not exactly sure where he's going to plant himself, but please make sure if you see Harry Vold, tip your hat to him, shake his hand, and say thank you for everything he's done for the sport of rodeo, Duke of the Chutes.
That's right. Larry, you brought a special guest with you today that's here specifically for the reunion.
Yes, I'd like to introduce you to John Carr here. He came all the way from Belize. And he was a famous rodeo cowboy in Montana. He rodeoed with a guy that most all of you know, Sean Davis and Marvin Joyce and Bob Ragsdale. And John, we're going to interview you just in a few minutes here. First of all, I'd like to thank Vicky Christensen for this beautiful head stall. We're going to have this in the auction at the Palms Hotel on the 11th, this coming Friday, for the Gold Card Reunion and the World of Rodeo Gathering.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's our pleasure. I know Brett Keeley and I are always happy to be affiliated with anything that you do here in Vegas. So thank you for asking.
Well, share with our audience, what is the Gold Card Reunion, for those that may not know?
Well, the Gold Card Reunion is made up of all the old cowboys and cowgirls from all over the United States and Canada, as far south as Australia, Belize. I believe we got one invitation back from a guy in upstate New York. Two came in from Alaska. And it's the rodeo history for the past 75 years, and we all get together and have a good time.
I
was going to ask Larry, what was the inspiration behind that? Where did that all originate? I mean, we all want to preserve the heritage, but tell us where that originated.
I believe in the early 50s, maybe 52, I think Bill Linderman had something to do with this. And they got together and they started, when they issued a RCA card, which a guy gets when he joins the association, That is the number that sticks with him. And then after a few years old, then you're issued a gold card, and that will be the same number. And maybe actually my son here, Brent, who is a PRCA rodeo announcer, Brent Jordan, maybe he can have a few statements on that.
Put me on the spot, huh? Something interesting last year is one of the things we did is we had I called up the audience and I said, everybody with a gold card, please stand up. And we're going to try to find the lowest number of gold cards. And we had 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them stand up. And what they didn't realize is I had in my back pockets, I had the number one card. Right, and so we brought that gentleman up on stage, and it was quite a deal. So that was one of the little insights into what we're doing over there. But, you know, we have people from all walks of life. You know, last year we had, you know, Larry Mahan, Jack Rowdy, a lot of the great legendary cowboys were there. But one thing I like about this event, as you know, in Las Vegas, we're so spread out all over the city from all the different conventions and all the things going on. And this is an opportunity for all the cowboys and cowgirls to get together in one spot so they can see each other. Because you might bump into somebody at this event or at the rodeo, but here's an opportunity for everybody to get together and say hi and shake hands and tell rodeo stories and retell rodeo stories and embellish them and add the embellishments to the rodeo stories.
That never happens.
Right.
Okay, well, Brent, I know you're my generation, and being able to MC that event, this is your second year doing that. What does that mean to you when you're there amongst all those world champions, cowboys,
I stand up there, and I look out in the rodeo audience, and it's all my heroes. Everybody that when I was a little guy behind the bucking chutes growing up around rodeo, they're all there. So I'm in awe, quite frankly. And, you know, I can announce rodeos in front of thousands and thousands of people. It doesn't bother me. But to stand in front of those people, it's a little intimidating, to be quite honest. And you have the fathers of Las Vegas there, from Michael Gong and, you know, on and on. And Pat Christensen from Las Vegas Events. And so it's a little intimidating, but it's a real honor, real honor.
Well, you know, we're visiting or interviewing, you know, a group of our peers, it is a little intimidating because, you know, these people know it. They've been there. They've done it. Now, I do remember when you were wandering around behind the chutes. I can say that because Becky may be from your generation, but I can relate here more to your dad's generation.
Well, you know, but that's what keeps – and that's what we're all about. It's the generations. We have – you know, Pecos and his generation out there. In fact, it was a really great photo Maria captured the other day. There's a little cowboy standing staring up at our picture, and we thought, wow, she totally captured the essence of what we're trying to do, and that's keep the stories alive, just what you guys are doing at the Gold Car Reunion. So I really appreciate that, and I'm really excited. We get to be a part of it this year.
We do. Becky and I were going to actually have our stage show here at Mandalay Bay early at 9:30, Friday morning, so we can hop it over to the Palms real fast and get to greet and meet a lot of our heroes and some interviews. So we're excited about that. Final numbers, what did you think you ended up with, Larry?
You know, I think we sold 28 or 29 tables. We've had a couple hundred already sign up, and then we always have walk-ups, so we're going to be around 550 to 600, and then you know, we got RFD TV is coming, CBS Sports is coming, Line Camp Productions are coming. So we're going to have a lot of media. The Western Horseman's going to be there, Rodeo News. Reba McIntyre's going to be there, Mo Bandy, Red Steagall, Wilford Brimley. The list just goes on. But
wow.
Before I get done here, I'd like to let John talk a little bit about his life in Montana and where he lives now.
Absolutely, John. We'd love to hear your story.
Well, I'd like to talk about this Gold Card Reunion as being a place where more memories are being made. And when I grew up a kid, like other kids collected baseball cards, I read the Rodeo Sports News and read about Casey Tibbs and Dean Oliver and Jim Shoulders, and all those kind of guys were my heroes. They might have liked Mickey Mantle, but I liked Jim Shoulders better. So my whole history is about rodeos, and I learned to ride saddle broncs and rope calves, and Larry's father was a mentor of me when I was 15 or 17 years old, and so Larry and I go way back, and that's what this whole thing about is making memories. It's all about making memories because life continues on, but we're making memories, and people like to be recognized for being part of a memory or something like that, and that's what the Gold Card Reunion is about. And life is going to go on. They're going to say, you remember back in 2015, that Gold Card Reunion that you was involved with back there in Las Vegas? They'll be talking about that 20 years to come from now. And that's what it's about. That it's making memories that's made America great. And that's what it's really all about, is making America great. Thank you.
We need to get you on the stump. We get you run for office. That's quite a speech, I'm going to tell you.
My hair a little different.
Mr. Trump better look out.
You know, I just recognized something. American hat, American hat, American hat. Keith, thank you. American Hat Company. Proud to wear them. Big part of our industry.
Well, we're just going to that you can't ask for a better intro. Keith, why don't you come on up?
Come on up, Keith. Come on up.
Keith was with us last year, and he shared a wonderful story about the hat. And he so graciously agreed to come back again today and share that same story. It'll touch your heart.
Well, we also, just in case you gentlemen didn't know, we are recording this because it will be rebroadcast on our show. So we want to capture one of our sponsors' great stories.
I just wanted real quick before you talk, Keith, is to mention one thing about Johnny Carr. We were talking earlier this morning, and John and Sean Davis ended up at the same rodeo. They were 15 years old, Point Montana. The only thing is, Sean Davis was in the bareback riding, the bull riding, and the bronc riding, and he had a cast on from his wrist plumb up to his shoulder. And John, did you beat him there?
Yeah, I probably beat him that time. All he had to do is have a broken arm, and I did better. But I wanted to say one more thing that he told about that arm. He had a doctor that took care of him, and so the doctor said, you've been doing what, riding bucking horses and bulls with that arm? And so they took the cast off, and the arm was wrong at a 45-degree angle underneath the cast. It had went wrong. The doctor said he laid him on one of them marble tables with nobody around and just took both hands on that thing and jerked that thing like that and broke that arm and put it back the right way. That was without stuff. You know, that's what tough is. And Sean is tough. He may look a little bit not tough. Be careful.
Oh, rodeo in the old days. It was a lot different, a lot different. Y'all kind of doctored your own ills, right, Larry?
Well, Keith, share with our listener or our audience, if you would please, you know, what it is about American Hat that is, you guys have been a driving force, and your owner, Keith Maddox, has an amazing story of grit and determination, and that, I think that only comes from being a cowboy. I mean, we all are strong in our ways, but there's something about that cowboy in him that just has catapulted you guys to a different level, and you've been a driving force behind that too.
We wouldn't be here if he wasn't first and foremost a cowboy and a competitor. What his story is, and I'll try to keep it Reader's Digest version, but his story is basically he wanted to buy a hat company, tried to buy American Hat Company in 1992. They wanted $10 million. He went back and put all the money together and came back, and they said, we changed our mind. We're going to give it to our kids. And so as he left there, he tells the story that he wanted to rip the steering wheel out of the truck because he had just put all this work together to get the money to make this thing happen. Then he bid on Hatco, Stetson and Resistol, and that bid didn't come through. So at that point, he decided to start his own little company called the Best Hat Store in Fort Worth, Texas. And toiled at that for a little bit, and that was good. But then American Hat Company, the kids had run it into bankruptcy. And he was there the day the bank took it and basically said to the banker, what do you need to, you know, make you whole, and I'll do that. Wrote him a check and took over and went straight to the factory, and you know, the people's lunches were still on the desk and everything else. And you would think at that point he had fulfilled his dream and of owning a hat company, and that he lived happily ever after. Well, he moved it from there to Bowie, Texas, from Conroe to Bowie, Texas, and a grass fire came through Bowie, Texas, and smoked the factory out. We lost $13.5 million of inventory. So in the hat business, that's what you got to have, because it takes a long time to get the materials to even make these hats. So in true cowboy fashion, and this is the thing that I love about him, because I'm 58, but at the age of 60, and I wasn't there, but so maybe this is a rodeo rewrite embellishment program, but I envisioned that he just kind of tipped his hat back on his head. He leaned back, and he shoved all of his chips to the middle of the table, and he said, I'm going to bet it all. I'm going to bet it all on American Hat Company.
And that's what he did. And if you go see him today over at the convention center, you can't wipe the smile off his face. We've got five hat shapers, and they're lined two and three deep, getting hats all day, every day. And we've just been overwhelmed by the reception that we've gotten from the hat-wearing community, the cowboys and Keith's old friends, and even some of the up-and-comers. So our goal here has been to brand as many calves as possible. So our marketing and everything is targeted at kids like Pecos. He's the future of the sport. And so we're trying to brand calves, because branding is obviously a Western term, and that there's no secret to what we're doing. We're just trying to get guys like Pecos there, and then he influences the rest of them, and then they come here and they get a hat on their head, they go home, and they tell all their friends about their hat. So,
you know, along with marketing, like he's talking about to the younger generation and marketing it to the who's who of rodeo cowboys, one thing I'll say, it's with a capital Q, it's quality. Quality, quality, quality. Because cowboys know, you put a hat on their head, they can tell, and American has quality products, and that's why it's just spread throughout the industry. It's just taken off. And that's real important, and that says something about, you know, American Hat Company.
Absolutely. And I want to point something out. There's something that ties this all together. We talk about old stories, and we talk about the broken arm. We talk about the American way. I think that's kind of unique, American hat. That's the American way, you know. So this all kind of ties itself together. And to dovetail off what you said, you know, Keith and Keith, as I call you, or Mr. Mundy and Mr. Maddox, have been very near and dear to me and for years. And it's like you said, it's quality. And I've had the privilege of going to the factory in Bowie a couple times. And you can shame me for this later, but if you get a chance, it's worth a visit to see what they do, see how these hats are made. It's truly impressive. And when you go to the store, Best Hats of Fort Worth, that's not like going to buy a hat. That's an experience. It's an experience. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but you're not just going to buy a hat. When you buy one from the store, it's an experience. They sit, they visit with you, they get to know you. It's unlike anything else I've experienced in this industry.
This hat means something. It really does. It means something. Anybody in the world has the permission to wear a baseball cap. Not everybody gets to wear a cowboy hat. And if you think about all the people in Italy and Germany and France and China and Japan that idolize the great iconic American cowboys, these guys, they dream of being able to wear a cowboy hat. So our customer may not all of them have to live it. We just ask that you love it. So if you're a stockbroker in New York City and you sleep in a high-rise every night, but you dream of wide open spaces and living the lives that these guys have lived, then, you're one of our guys. I mean, welcome to the club. We sell membership into an exclusive club and family heirlooms.
You basically described my life because I was, as you know, I did not grow up farming, ranching, anything like that. But I have learned, I've traded my ball cap that I wore for years to this. And it's an honor to do that. It really is. And that's a great story.
Actually, I knew Keith in the beginning and stuff. We was in college rodeo together and stuff. And then when he was riding barebacks and everything, and 1 year I had descent at Nampa, Idaho. And after it was over and stuff, I come walking back to the chute and stuff, and there was Keith with a big camera. He was a photographer too, so he took pictures of everything in rodeo. So he's played the game from the bottom all the way to the top, and we're proud of him that he's at the top now.
Yeah, he even braided bull ropes at night in his room, you know, and he'd sell. I mean, he did it all. I mean, he used to be the hardest working guy that there was. I mean, today his hours are 11 to 2 and he takes a 2-hour lunch. but literally he's my mentor. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I know to get next to the smartest guy in the room, and he has it. I don't know how to explain it, but you know it when you see it. And that's what Keith Maddox has, and we're just pleased that the company's at the place that it's at right now. And the focus for him has always been, like you said, quality, quality, quality. If it's not quality, we just won't do it.
Absolutely. It's a testament to you too, Keith. Seriously, you guys are great. It's a wonderful organization.
Excuse me, I'd like to make a comment about, he said something about him, Texas Hold'em is a kind of a new game. As far as I'm concerned, they just played draw and stud, but now they play Texas Hold'em. And they copied from the American cowboy a term, all in. They use that term all the way in Texas Hold'em, and that's what his boss did. And that's what makes America great, because Cowboys historically, here and before, always use the term, I'm all in.
Well, and that just is a segue back to Larry. You've been all in since you started riding, and you were intricate in the formation of what rodeo is today. Will you share with our audience that intricate piece that you have put together, which is now that we know is our circuit system?
Well, it was back in the early 70s and stuff, and I got elected on to the board of directors as a saddle bronc riding director. And as I traveled around the country, I seen a lot of smaller rodeos and stuff and the bigger rodeos, and I noticed that a lot of the smaller rodeos were kind of going back to the regional rodeos. So I thought, if we could set up some kind of a regional or a circuit system itself for professional rodeo, it would build a strong grassroots for us. So I went to the board with the idea and stuff, and there were some real old hard-headed guys on that board back in them days. You know, they were the guys from
the 50s and
60s. And so I had to kind of wait around till a couple of them were sick that one board meeting. And then I waited till 5 minutes to five to bring it up, and we got it voted in. But I went around the country, and I looked at the whole map and stuff, and we had 12 circuits. And I said, what's great about the Northwest up there? Well, it's the Columbia River. So we called that one the Columbia River Circuit. Originally, it was the Sierra Circuit, the Montana Circuit, the Badlands Circuit were North and South Dakota. The Texas was by itself. Anyway, it's turned out pretty good here in the last year. They've got a million added at their rodeo now, and every cowboy it goes gets $1,000 after they qualify for it. And it's really the foundation that helps rodeo stay together.
Well, Larry, you've contributed so much over the years, and I'm going to, you know, you just were just here a few nights ago at South Point, recognized for something very, very special. And I'm going to let your son, Brent, would you tell our audience about this award your dad received?
Yeah, the ladies of the WPRA, the Women's Professional Rodeo Association, honored my father with the National Finals Rodeo Lifetime Achievement Award for his contributions to the world of rodeo. Obviously, they touched on the circuit system. You know, that was his brainchild. He come up with it, put it all together. Another thing that he did is back in the 70s, you know, before they kind of revamped the judging system, you know, it was kind of who you knew and whatnot and so forth, and wink, wink. But my dad went in there with some great colleagues, Marvin Joyce, one of them, and put together the new judging system. So the judging system that they use in the modern rodeo was put together by this guy and some really other key figures. And so, you know, WPRA recognized this and honored him for his contribution in the world of rodeo. Just if you just think of the circuit system and the judging system, how much has that affected pro rodeo?
It's kind of the whole kit and
If you think of the circuit system, thousands and thousands of saddles have been given away, buckles, millions of dollars in prize money, and that allows your average working cowboy or cowgirl to go out and rodeo in the circuit, make a circuit finals, compete for a circuit finals buckle, makes them feel part of the world of rodeo, because rodeo is like a pyramid. It's all those working people at the bottom that might work for American Hat Company, but they want a team rope in the Texas circuit, and they get to compete for a Texas circuit final, and then it's a pyramid all the way up here to the NFR. And so it's the foundation. So that's what they honored. And it was well deserved. So.
Well, and it truly has changed the whole course of professional rodeo. Again, like Brent was saying, weekend cowboys, they have it in their heart. They want to rodeo. They want to compete. They have a family. They have a full-time job. The circuit system was their vehicle to be able to move up and move forward. And that is what's generated the dollars over the years for our full-time, our top 15 to go down the road. So congratulations, Larry. Well deserved. We're proud.
Well, so question I have then is, what was it like? Give us a little bit of an example of what it was like before the circuit six systems existed. How was it like for a cowboy traveling down the road making money?
Well, I don't think it's really changed that much, because the cowboys that stay home and rodeo regionally were doing the same back in those days and stuff. All it did was strengthen the foundation of rodeo.
Well, and I know that Brent, the three of you guys are all from Montana, But you've divulged so far deep into the road. You announced. Let's ask John for a minute. Here's the question. What took you to Belize? What took you to Belize from Montana?
Well, you know, one of the things I have to say, because Montana is full of pioneering people. If they weren't tough, we was talking about coldest he ever saw was 66 below. So Montana are naturally tough people. In my case, I heard a little voice or something get an opportunity to move to Belize and be a pioneer and do new things. And it made me think about what my forefathers and his forefathers and his forefathers went through to make America great. It was a tough deal back then. It was really tough. Really tough to be in Montana in 1913 or whenever and make life. And that toughness is still here. It's the same DNA we're talking about. That same DNA, that's what makes it happen.
Well, we sure appreciate you coming all the way up here and being part of Larry's event. Thursday is at the Thomas and Mac, is that correct?
Yes, Thursday is gold card holders only. It's just the people that have a gold card. Nobody else can come. And it's from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock at the Red Room at Thomas and Mac. Then on Friday, it starts at 10 o'clock. And it from 10 to 12, it's going to be a big visitation period. And then we're going to have introductions. We're going to have a short auction. And then the rest of the afternoon, we're going to have a program. We're going to honor what they call the Champions Ride from North Dakota. They've been putting it on for 60 years now. And all the champions have rode there in the past and everything.
Saddle bronc riding.
And also the Dakota Six, which were the Tesher brothers and Joe Chase and Alvin Nelson. There were six of them, and they all just recently have passed away in the last 10 years, and we're honoring them. And I believe most of North Dakota is coming to this. I think there's 70 or 80 people coming just for that. Then we're also going to have an interview with 4 to 6 of the world champion bullfighters that are going to be there. Mo Bandy's going to sing. Reba's not going to sing, but she's going to be there having
a good
time.
Reba's going to be there. I remember how you got Reba into committing to going. That was in Oklahoma City. Larry also sits on the board of directors for the National Cowboy, American Cowboy Museum in Oklahoma City, the Rodeo Historical Society. So he kind of corralled Reba up there.
Yeah.
Well,
I walked up to her and I said, Reba, Larry Jordan. She said, Larry, I remember who you are. And then I told her about the event and I said, Reba, would you come to it again? You came to it for me 6 years ago. And she looked at me, she says, what's the date? I said, well, it's December 11th. And she poked me in the shoulder. I'll be there. So made us pretty happy. It was good to advertise to have Reba come to our event.
Absolutely great to have Reba there. And, of course, for those in the audience that don't know, you know, Reba started her career in Oklahoma City at rodeo. So that's going back to her roots as well.
Yeah, her whole family is a rodeo family. I believe her dad was a world champion steer roper and maybe granddad also. And then her one sister also sings very well, Susie. And then Pate was a steer roper and a good cowboy and also played the guitar and had his own band for a while.
Right, great rodeo and musical family. You know, and when Larry was talking about, Becky, about the gold card reunion, we have someone else that made a special trip down here today to see Larry and is really looking forward to the reunion.
Well, we are going to bring to the stage today, we were graced to have him on our stage yesterday. Yesterday we had Military Monday and we honored our military and all that they have done for us and to keep our country free. And he is a coveted Vietnam combat vet and cowboy out of California, Mr. Lynn Maddox. Please give him a round of applause. Lynn shared some great stories yesterday of his time and his journey in the military, and
We know he's got a bunch more in there. So we just love having all of these guys up there. Keith's still got to tell his American Cowboy story. And I know that we've just got some good stories up here to share with you and our listeners because, like I said, we are taping this to play back to our fan base online.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It's really great to be back here today. And yesterday I did not tell some of my highlighted stories, but spent a lot of time overseas. Back in the 60s, I was just about to get my citizenship for Vietnam. You know, I had 37 months over there in combat, and things weren't going really good. But just reminded me one day we were out in a Jeep doing a little patrolling, and we come across a couple of young men with a water buffalo. I decided that I had never ridden a water buffalo. I should try one. And so lo and behold, up on the hood of the Jeep, up on the back of the water buffalo, and down the trail. And everything was fine until the water buffalo went into the rice paddies and decided that I shouldn't be on his back. And so if you've never taken a backfall into a rice paddy in Vietnam, I'll tell you, you've missed a hell of a thrill. That was even worse than the first television show that we did over in California there when it rained so hard and we had to ride in the mud and the water and everything. But anyway, that was just one of the things. I did not win the water buffalo riding.
Well, you know, probably very lucky. That's not a qualifying event today, Lynn. So we, but what a great story. And again, that's that pioneer spirit, that cowboy spirit that comes alive and says, hey, I'm going to try something different.
I have a question for you cowboys that have led the way for all those that are here today. Short, you can give a long answer, you can give a short answer, I don't care, but if you could give one piece of advice to cowboys in today's circuits and in the PRCA, what would that piece of advice be?
John, you're first.
Well, I was visiting with him a little bit earlier, and somehow your mind has to conjure or draw pictures. And what drives you is if you can draw a picture of to win this, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to win. And so that concept moves around your life. And I think it's part of DNA. People teach you that. So when you become a cowboy, I can ride that horse. Sometimes when I used to get down on the saddle bronc, I'd reach down and slap him, you son of a bitch. You know, and I'd make a little contest where I intended on winning this event. And I think that goes through the mind of all of us about winning. And you have to be able to portray a picture in your mind of being a winner. Unfortunately, we don't always win, but in our minds.
Now, are you sure you're not related to Trump? Because you're not PC like him, and that's okay. I like that. I like that. Here's my word, perseverance. Perseverance, because you're going to lose more than you're going to win. And whether you're competing in the rodeo arena or you're on my side of the ball and the contract personnel, you just got to hang in there and hang in there and hang in there. Perseverance, because life isn't fair. And, you know, and that's what we got to impart to a lot of our youth nowadays, you know. They want everything just handed to them and nice and easy, but you got to earn it. So perseverance, that's my word.
I
would have to say that maybe nowadays practice. I see these cowboys now, and I'll give you an example. Trevor Brazell. You know, Trevor has his arena there, and when he goes home, he doesn't go to the movie or he doesn't go visit the relatives. He has a regiment where he just goes out, and the horses are there and the calves are there, and they practice in the morning and they practice at night. And I think all the cowboys, and maybe that's why I think we see the cowboys riding better. And actually, the bucking horses were in about five or six generations of breeding these bucking horses. And you see the bulls in the PRs and the PBR, I mean, they're just getting so bad. What's it going to be like two more generations from now? They're like a wasp now. How bad are they going to get, you know? Practice.
The harder you work, the luckier you get.
Well said.
So you get out of it what you put into it, and you got to be mentally tough. You know, that's the stuff. When you said having a mental picture, Keith Maddox will tell you often that he knew exactly what this company would look like. He just didn't know it was going to take this long. But he knew exactly what it was going to look like.
That's not bad. I like that. How about you, sir?
I'd like to add to that right there, because many, many years ago, we brought a horse back from Korea, a horse called Sergeant Reckless. This horse came off the racetrack over there. There's a book out on it right now. You can get the book, Sergeant Reckless, by Robin Hutton. But I had the opportunity to work with that mare and take her to parades and ceremonies. She had an attitude which can do, will do. I garnered that from her, and 10 years later, I had a fitness report written by a colonel, and at the bottom line it said Sergeant Maddox had a can-do, will-do attitude. That came from that mare. And I survived 55 combat operations in 37 months. I survived, and I'm here with you today because I have that attitude. I also won 10 titles in the Military Rodeo Association, and I don't know how many individual bull riding and bronc riding events I won in the RCA and the PRCA. But every time I went to get down on a bucking horse or a bull, in my mind, I knew I could ride that bull or that horse, and I would ride it. I didn't always win, but I rode it. And my percentage was extremely high. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that because it's a fact.
Well, I'm gonna take just a second and brag on a cowboy, because I listened to you guys talk about what you think that one thing is. And, Larry, you said practice. And I can tell you, I got to go to Texas this last January, February, and spend time with my family. And I'm going to brag on Pecos for a minute, because I didn't get to go watch him rope, but there were some great pictures by Bill. You got some fabulous pictures of him, absolutely fabulous. Aunt Vicky, or Grammy, I'm going to say you're Grammy when you're at the roping, not Aunt Vicky. Grammy got some good video of you. And when I was down there in February, and I got to stay with him January, February, I guess it was February, Pecos, our visit consisted of watching his videos and watching how fast he had gotten on that. I don't even know what it was. It was some roping dummy, I think.
Uh-huh.
And that kid has more determination. You can teach it and get it, but some are just born with it. And I just really like to brag on him, because I watch him. And I think he's just born with it. His hands and that his hand work.
Well,
and that video, I'm like, so I just call him the next Trevor Brazil. Just letting you know.
It's all about that can do, I will do, and I can win attitude. And of course, I'm terribly proud of my grandson. And but I'm so proud of all of our youth today. You know, the whole youth movement in rodeo, I mean, they are our future. And again, that's why Becky and I are so blessed to be able to do this program, because that is what our heart believes, is we like to connect the generations. Because that young man will remember sitting out here today, he'll remember what you did and what you did and what you did and you did and you did. And the sacrifices that everyone made. And there he is, the future of rodeo, our youth.
Pecos can talk to an adult.
Absolutely.
Okay, so a lot of kids, they don't have that. They're just like, yeah, no. Pecos looks you in the eye and he'll say, yes, sir, no, sir. I mean, he is the most polite young man I think I've ever met. And he's not glued to some electronic device where he can't engage you eye to eye. And that's one of the things about the youth in the sport of rodeo, at high school rodeo. I get yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am. They are the politest, best-raised kids anywhere.
And
so my hat's off to Pecos, too, because he can talk to an adult.
Pecos, you may hate me for this later, but why don't you come up with this group of gentlemen up here? We need to connect that generation.
Come on up.
To these gentlemen. Come on up here. You can take my spot.
And Pecos, you're going to have to go run around. Harry's running around here. He might need to say hi to him. We had on, I think it was Saturday, we had Emily Charlesworth. Is that how you pronounce her name correctly? And she is, actually, I think tonight.
I think Emily's up playing tonight, trick riding.
Yeah, trick riding. Yeah. 10 years old. Amazing. Yeah. And so now we have Pecos up here, Mr. 10-year-old. Hey, give me a knuckle. All right. Okay, so share with our audience and our listeners that will be listening on the radio, how was your roping experience?
It was good. I wish I could have done a little better, but it was real fun to get to come to Vegas and rope.
Now, which horse did you bring?
I brought my little pony I rope calves on and my big horse.
What's their names?
Sunny and Hootie.
Sunny and Hootie. Now, what else do you do besides calf roping?
I team rope and ride steers and tie goats.
There you go. He does it all. I bet you these guys have questions first. I'm going to see what, because I know how good you're. I'm not putting you on the spot or anything, am I?
No, ma'am.
Look at that smile. So we've got, Lynn, what events did you do when you were riding? Did you just do the rough stock events?
I only worked rough stock. I did jump a couple of steers just to say I did it. And I tried to rope a calf, but it wouldn't run in my loop.
Well, and Keith roped, right? And then we got these saddle bronc riders up here, you know. So what advice do you give to Pecos over here?
Here's some advice I'll give you. You know, rodeo is fantastic, and it's probably going to be a part of that young man's life for his entire life. But when you grow up, get your education.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Absolutely. That's part of that foundation that you can always fall back on, and education in this modern world is so important. So he looks like the young man, and I'm sure he gets good grades, but keep getting good grades because that's a big part of it.
Who's your biggest, your favorite teacher? Right? No comment. It's Mom.
Pecos is homeschooled, and one of the reasons that Pecos is homeschooled is because he receives the foundation, and that's in all areas of life. It's not just to be book learned, but to be able to move through life. And so I'm real proud of my daughter-in-law. There's a lot of rodeo kids that are homeschooled, and I can't think of any greater education than being able to come here to Vegas and to sit here today and to meet y'all and hear the stories. That's part of a wise upbringing.
Well, so Cowboy Way and the ethics and the principles that we grew up in, I want Keith to share the story he shared last year on stage about the cowboy and the American hat.
Just about the hat and the hat itself, you know, I mean, one of the things that I love to say is this cowboy hat is the most recognizable piece of apparel on the planet Earth. And if you can come up with another one, then I'll correct my statement. But wherever you get dropped on the planet Earth, if you have this on your head, somebody's going to come up to you and say, are you a cowboy? And when you walk through the front doors of an elementary school, the boots don't make you a cowboy. The jeans doesn't make you a cowboy. Even the belt and the buckle don't. It's the hat. And so what's it's up to us and Pecos' generation to continue to carry that forward, continue to carry those traditions forward. And, you know, it comes with a responsibility when you put this hat on your head. One of the things that I've done with all of my upper-end hats is I have my name on one side embossed inside the hat band, and on the other side it has one of my grandkids' names and their birthday, and then we take our family pictures with me holding them and wearing their hat. And someday, hopefully not too soon, they'll get these hats, though, when I'm gone. We have my wife's grandfather's hat, and it sits on a buffet table in our dining room, and that's one of the things that we're pretty proud of. And so we want to hand the hat down in my family to the next generation. So the hat means something. We're all at a different place in our life. We all have the most expensive hat. It's not about that. It's about carrying those traditions forward. The great iconic American cowboy.
I love that story, Keith, because on our Christmas tree, there's a very special hat, and that was a hat that belonged to Pecos's grandpa, and it has his turtle pin. So, you know, we have all of the traditional Christmas decorations up, and of course, the first thing we always do is give thanks to the good Lord above for all of our blessings. But on the top of the tree is Pecos's grandpa's hat.
You know, you speak of American traditions, and I was just sitting there thinking about this, listening to Lynn speak. And every time I open a rodeo, you talk about the men and women who service. From Washington when he crossed to Delaware to Sands of Arabia right now. And so you open those rodeos, and sometimes people, you watch them, I watch the audience, and sometimes they're kind of looking like this or looking like that, and maybe they are going through the motions during the national anthem, or maybe it comes cliche. But to me, it's never cliche, never cliche, to honor people like you, sir, who served our country, especially in Vietnam, a very tough, hard-fought war. We can't experience the Wrangler Inn afar in Las Vegas, Nevada, without the sacrifices of men like him and women who serve us. And so I just want to say another one of our great American traditions is the American military man and American military woman. So my hat's off to you, sir, for your service.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, and I think when I sit up here amongst all of you, I'm humbled and I'm blessed to still be able to be a part of this world, because obviously I had stepped away from it for many years, but that was a part of me that was missing, and I found a way to return to my roots. But with the society today and everything that's going on, what do you think? How do we hold it all together? It's about unity. And there's so many things going on in our industry and so many things that are trying to diversify and split us into different directions. How do we stay unified so that our image and what we truly represent as a whole stays together?
Fall back on your upbringing. Fall back on the values and the morals that you were taught growing up, because that's the foundation of the rodeo industry. And it's real easy as you travel around the country to get led astray. But if you stick to yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, you know, God and country, and a big word in my life, and I'm sure everybody on this stage, is you got to have integrity. And I think if we keep our integrity as cowboys and cowgirls, as a industry, as a society, then that'll guide us, in my opinion.
I think our country's ready for a resurgence. I think, you know, we're at that point. We have a tendency, the pendulum swings too far one way and then it comes back the other way. But I think America is pretty strong, and I think that we're poised for a resurgence. We've had enough of the, you know, we were the bad guys. When a tragedy hits, when the tsunami hits or the earthquake hits, who's the first ones that are there? So you can say what you want to say, but I am proud of America, proud to be an American, and I'm going to stand up. And we stand up when even when we're in a restaurant at the hotel, we stood up and took our hats off for the prayer and the national anthem. And I noticed there was people around that weren't necessarily with the rodeo that were kind of going like, what are we supposed to do? And they stood up too. So we just got to stand up, take our hat off,
You just hit on the head what I was just thinking as you guys were talking. I thought if we as a community of cowboys and cowgirls, you know, your hat, you said you're recognized by your hat, and you take your hat and you take your integrity and you put it together with your roots and your what you've learned growing up, I think you can be that driving force, or we can be that driving force to set the bar, because not every kid gets to grow up like Pecos. Not every kid gets the luxury, and I don't want to say luxury, he works hard, their family works hard for the life that they live, but not everybody gets blessed, I guess, to be able to be on that farm or a ranch. And so there's a lot of kids in this generation that don't know what that means, and so he has to be the light, and we have to be the example to those coming up.
We have to be able to share the story.
I have a quote to make. Let's make America great. John Carr and Mr. Trump.
Thank you, Larry.
Vice President.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'd like to say one thing about it, that there's a lot of organization hat. I don't think there's any place in the United States or the world that has as many cowboy hats as Las Vegas does this week.
It is cowboy town.
That's a great statement, because this hat business he's talking about, I've never quite heard it that way. Beautiful.
And I'd like to add to that, John, I think 81% are Americans.
Truth. Well, we're about out of time. I just want to really quickly, if you could repeat again about the dates and the times of your event, Larry, and if there's any way. Now, is it just for Gold Buckle on Friday? It's just Gold Card Reunion? It's just for the members?
That's on Thursday.
Is it open to anyone on Friday or just?
It's open to everybody on Friday, and it's from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock is the registration, and we're going to have 600. We're going to be full. We're still full. It's in the ballroom at the Palms Hotel.
Palms Hotel, okay. And I just applaud Larry, because I know you sent over 4,000 or more invites this year, so that tells you how many are out there that like to be part of
that. If you want to come meet some rodeo legends, they're going to be concentrated right here. You know, around Las Vegas, you got to go to this convention or that convention center, If you want to get some autographs, just shake their hands, they're going to be at the Palms Casino on Friday from 10 to 2. Yeah.
Well, and Donna Lynn's not here with us today, but Donna Lynn's claim to her statement that she likes to say is that everyone has at least one good book in them, and when you know the story of their life, and really that's about capturing the stories, and there are going to be a ton of stories that need to be heard. So with that being said, we are going to close out the show today, and we welcome you back tomorrow. Tomorrow we are going to be doing a history of the bullfighters and rodeo clowns.
Got some great characters join us, and they're going to be in full makeup, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And NFR bullfighters. So
yep. Rob Smets, J.J. Harrison.
George Doak. Jeff Franks,
Gail Warner.
Going to be a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Gail Warner's going to come up on stage with them. So anyway, thank you so much for sharing this time with us, and thank you all.
Yes, thank you.
I'm Crystal Lyons, and I would hate to be a horse, but if I were a horse, I would want to be in the hands of a good professional barrel racer. I've never seen anyone so close to being a veterinarian as a professional barrel racer. A barrel racer notices everything. If her horse is carrying its tail funny, she's getting his hocks injected or sending him to the chiropractor. Now, Roper, their horse can be dragging a hind leg and the guy is claiming he's just being lazy. Oh, all competitors want their horses performing well. But those who take the best care of their horses are usually relational with them. Those who only care about their event think of their horse basically as a piece of machinery that they expect to deliver the goods whenever they want. Therefore, if their horse doesn't perform up to their expectations, their first response is anger. And a person who is relational with their horse can experience the same thing, but their first response will be to make sure there's nothing wrong with their horse. Our responses to God after a disappointing outcome also mirror whether or not we are relational with God, or do we just want Him to deliver the goods. People who are mainly interested in what God can do for them are prone to get offended when something doesn't turn out the way they want it. Being relational, that's the key, whether it's with your horse or with God. Pity the poor animal who ends up in the hands of the person who is only interested in its performance. That animal's well-being will be sacrificed simply for another win. Pity the heart of God when we treat Him the same way. I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic. For more, go to cowgirllogic.net.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
4radio.com.